Welcome to the Femi Pod. These conversations are for women runners that go beyond running. Brought to you by your Femi founders, Lydia O'Donnell and Esther Kewen. Welcome back to the Femi Pod for episode 119. It is great to be here, of course, with my bestie, Esty. Est, how are you going this week?
I'm good, thanks. Yeah, it's been a good week. Been a busy one. And yeah, I did a speed session yesterday, which was cool. I'm kind of just making them up, but then I picked a focus this morning to actually like follow. So I'm doing the fired up focus, which I feel like will be really fun and just like mix things up and keep it exciting, on the Femi app. So yeah, yesterday I did four by 4 minutes with 1 minute jog, and yeah, it was good. It was good to push myself a bit, and, I definitely have lost a fair bit of pace, but that's fine. It's to be expected. So yeah, I'm good and training's going well, and I feel like it's just another brick in the big, big wall of getting fitter again. So yeah, I'm good. How are you, Liz? How are you going?
Good. Yes, it's been a busy week. Lots of running this week, which is nice. And I'm in the city in Sydney at the moment. We've had lots of fun after dark tour events going on in the lead up to the race next week. And I'm not racing, but just to like be there with the community and just feel the energy. Everyone's so pumped for the race, so I can't wait to get out there next weekend. It's going to be so incredible. But yeah, training's been going well. I did this really gnarly hill session a couple of days ago. Where I'm staying right now is like out in the national park up north of Sydney, and it's just like incredibly hilly everywhere. Even my easy jogs, I might only do like 5k and still cover like over 200 meters, which maybe doesn't sound like a lot to our trail queens, but it's a lot of hills for me. And so on Tuesday, I just decided to embrace it and go and like do a proper hill session on these hills. And not only are they like quite steep, they are also really uneven. Like it's full trail, rocky trail. So it's quite hard to try and turn the legs over quickly, but it was fun. That like really burny sensation that you don't really get when you're running on the flat is just like a whole different level of pain. But like also we love the pain, so it was actually really fun. So yeah, I feel like I'm like getting stronger by running all these hills. And then this morning I just did like a tempo on the flat ground and it felt good. It's nice to feel comfortable running fast. I feel like I was surprised how comfortable it felt, which is always like nice when you kind of work up a workout in your head in a way that it's going to be really hard and then it's just like not. So it's good. Training is going well. We've got Ballarat half marathon in like 3 weeks. So it's a bit terrifying because my training has been so like chopped up, but it's also just going to be fun. No expectations. Yes.
Excited for you. I feel like all those hills, like you may not be running as fast as normal, but it doesn't matter because it's time on feet, baby, like we talked about last week. And like your body really only knows effort. It doesn't know pace. Like it might feel, you know, your body might know what a 3:45 feels like. I'm talking about you, Liz, right now, not me. That's for sure. 3:45, you know, if you're going out and doing like a tempo or whatever it may be. But like 1 week that might feel really easy and 1 week that feels really hard. But like your body's still getting a workout out of it. So I think like that's something that's really important to think about is like, yeah, your body really only knows effort. And if a hard effort one day is 30 seconds slower than 3 days before, like you're still getting heaps out of it because your body knows is benefiting from the rise in the heart rate and the effort that you're putting on your muscles and your bones and stuff. So yeah, I'm excited to see what that means for you in terms of running all those hills and getting bloody strong.
Yes, it's so true. I definitely feel like I've stopped looking at my watch. I'll just like go and run, particularly if I'm just doing like a steady or easy run. I'm like, I don't even care about the pace because I'm like running all these hills and it doesn't even matter. But yeah. I've been running quite a few Ks and for some reason I just feel my body feels really good. This will probably be the biggest week I've had in ages and I feel better than ever.
This is the Australian
hear all these birds. These Australian birds are just squirking away. But yeah, no, I feel really good. And I've been listening to a lot of Maths Recap podcasts I've been running, and it's really distracted me on my runs. So yeah, like really quality listening, you know?
Quality, yeah, quality learning for learning purposes, really.
Yeah, exactly. But today we are here to do a Q&A with you all. So thank you to everybody who sent us through questions on Instagram. We're excited to get into them. We've picked our top 10 questions that we're going to go through. So we're going to crack straight into it. The first one is actually based on the podcast that we did last week. So if you haven't listened to that one, go back and listen to that one first. But this question is running for time over distance. Love the idea. How does it work when training for a marathon? Which, if you want, best, I can crack into this one.
Yeah, I was about to say, maybe don't ask me, like, you're the marathon queen. So, yeah, hit it.
Well, I do all my marathon training to time. I never plan anything around distance unless I'm doing a speed session where I'm like doing specific K reps or mile reps or 2K reps, whatever it might be. But all my other training, it's still based on time, and that's even my long runs. So for me, I try to get up to like a 2.5, maybe a 3 hour long run in a marathon training block, and a 3 hour long run. For some weeks, it might be running 40 Ks, and then other weeks, it might be running 36 Ks. So it's still not necessarily about specific paces, but it's about time on feet and actually just getting out there and getting it done, knowing that when I go to race, for me, I'm going to hopefully be running less than 3 hours for the marathon. And if I can cover that time and training at like a slower pace, it's still conditioning my body to be out there for that certain amount of time. So I still really focus on running for time over distance, even when training for a marathon. And actually, it's nicer. I find it easier to go, I'm going to go and run in for 2.5 hours or 3 hours versus I've got to go and run for like 36 to 40 Ks. For some reason, the time in my mind feels easier. So that's also just a nice way to motivate you to go and do it. But yeah, all my runs are based on time, unless I'm doing speed.
Oh, I was just going to ask you, like, I love what you said, but then, like, what if someone's running a five, like, they know they're going to run a 5 hour marathon? Should they be running 5 hours then?
No, so someone who's running maybe or aiming to run a 5 hour marathon, which is still incredible. Any time for the marathon is amazing feat. But 5 hours in your weekend long runs is a long time to be out there and to try to recover from it. So we would suggest up to 3 hours on your feet for your long run is long enough to do in training. And then you have to really look at your weekly mileage compared to like one-off long. So knowing that you're covering distance over the week in multiple runs is still really beneficial compared to just doing one super long run in the weekend. So yeah, it doesn't matter if what pace you're aiming to run in your race, trying to get at least 3 hours in your legs in training can really help you, just condition you to be on your legs for such a long time. So time on feet always over distance.
Love that. Yeah, it's such a hard one, eh? We get asked it often, and it's like, I don't know, if even giving someone like a 4 hour long run is so taxing on their body. So yeah, it is a hard one because the confidence could probably take a hit if you're not like covering or getting close to covering the distance. But then if you do that, you're probably needing to have like a 3 week recovery block, which you don't have, you know, you don't have the time for that. So yeah, it is literally like week on week building that strength and conditioning in your legs rather than like one long run that absolutely annihilates you.
Yes, but if you want to learn more about running for time over distance, definitely go back to last week's episode because we spent an entire 20 minutes talking about it.
Yes.
All right, next question. Best technique to go into a race when you have high expectations? I have a 5 kilometer time trial.
Oh, such a great question, and I think we've both experienced having really high expectations, and I'll give you, I don't know, I don't want to be harsh or anything, but like try not to have super high expectations because like the reality is that running sometimes doesn't go your way. And like if you have super high expectations, then if it doesn't go your way, which it might not, you're going to feel pretty crap. So I think what Soraya said in one of our podcasts, which I highly recommend you go and listen to, is, you know, have big goals, but hold them loosely. And I love the way she said that, because it's like, goals are different to expectations, right? An expectation is like, I have to get this thing and I expect to get this thing. Whereas a goal is like, yes, I want to run this time at some point, but maybe it's not going to be the next time travel. Maybe it's not going to be the next one after that, but it's going to happen because you're motivated and you're working towards it. But I just think expectations on ourselves of a set time, when the reality of running can be so brutal, you're setting yourself up to impact your self-worth. So I think, like, if you can have an A goal, and that might be, you know, that time that you have spoken about in your head multiple times, like, that's awesome. Visualize it, believe it's going to happen, but also understand that things happen in life. And so have some other goals, have a B goal and a C goal. So it might be like, you want to run a sub 25K and you've been working really hard to get there. That's your goal. That's your A goal. Your B goal is, I don't know, run under 20 minutes and 30 seconds. And then your C goal is to finish feeling like you gave it everything. And so you're giving yourself room to, I guess, experience the highs and lows of running without like having this really fixed expectation that you're going to run a time. Because I've done that before. I know Liz has done that before multiple times. We haven't gotten it and we've been absolutely devastated when we got it 2 months down the line, or, you know, we got it another time. It was just like, yeah, the more expectation you put into something, I don't know, I feel like it kind of steals the joy as well of the moment and the journey to get there. So that would be my tip. It would be like, create some other goals around it. Some that, you know, give you some more leeway, more flexibility for the reality of running. And then one that is more about mindset. You know, did I do what I could on the day? That's awesome. I did it. That's the outcome I got. It doesn't impact me and my self-worth, but, that would be my suggestion. And then, yeah, don't just try really hard not to have really set rigid expectations, because I don't know, if it works out, it's great, but like the likelihood of it actually happening at that one time, one moment in time that you feel incredible and you get that, like, it is few and far between. And that's the reality of running. Like, running is hard, and you have to keep pushing. So that would be my suggestion.
Yes, I totally agree. I think having A, B, C goals is so helpful. And I think the most important goal is to like have fun. That's why we do it. So if you can walk away saying you had a good time out there, yes, it was hard. And yes, it really hurt, but I got to the end and I was like proud of myself and I had fun doing it. That should be the most important thing. But I do want to counter it a little bit, because it's still important to have ambitious goals. And I think we'll talk goals, like you said, over expectations at the moment. And I think for me, when I have had these kind of really specific time goals to reach for certain distances, what I've done going into time trials or races is set myself up to try and get that time as best as possible and be really tactical and strategic in terms of how I'm going to run the race. And so for me, running 5K and 10K on track, I really love it, because I find it almost like a game, and I set myself up to break the race down into 200 meter splits, which might sound kind of insane, especially for the 10K, because that's a lot of 200 meter splits, but I aim to just get through the next 200 in the specific time that I want to reach that overall goal time. And so it might be get to the 200 every 40 seconds or 45 seconds or whatever it might be. So rather than focusing on the entire distance as one, I just focus on getting through that next 200 meters. And it's really helped me. That's how I've broken my PB in the 5K and the 10K on the track, because it just has felt so much more achievable being able to do that. You make sure you go out at a really like sustainable pace that you know you can hold across the distance, and all of a sudden you've got like 1K to go and you just like hit the hammer and go for it. So I think for me, I try and set myself up for success in that way, but I also try and visualize the race and manifest the race and try and see the race before it happens. And that instills a lot of confidence into me as well. So there's a lot there, but I think try not to put too much pressure on yourself. Have these ambitious goals, go after them, like don't hold back, but use some of those skills to kind of set yourself up to have the best shot at getting those goals as possible.
Love it.
Cool. Next question. This one is a silly one, but which one of you is running in the pod intro? It's been bugging me for years. I love this question. It's so funny because we actually redid our intro music, whatever you want to call it, a couple of years ago, maybe like a year ago. I can't even really remember, but we had an old song and then we introduced this new song that was a bit more like running related. And unfortunately, I have to break it to you, it is neither of us. We should find that person who is breathing in the running intro, but it is not Esther or I, sorry.
Yeah, it's not us. So, I don't know if that's going to disappoint the person who asked the question.
Maybe we need to re-record it and do have one of us.
I love that. Cute. Next question. What is the hardest race you've ever done? It's a great question.
Look, there's been many hard races. I could name so many. I think where my mind goes to is probably one of the more recent races that I've done, which was Rotorua Marathon about a year ago now. And that was so tough. It was a road marathon, but pretty hilly. I think it was like 350 meters elevation, maybe. I had a bit of a chaotic time training for that race. I don't think I was incredibly prepared for it. I had some calf and Achilles issues going into it, and at about 28 Ks, my calf completely blew. And then for the last like 14 Ks, I was run walking, which is not what you want to do in a marathon. And I was in so much pain, and it was just not enjoyable at all. I remember my mum and dad drove past me at probably like 35 K or so. And I said to them, "Can you please pick me up? Like, I don't want to do this." I was like walking. And I just remember mum being like, "You're in second, like, you have to keep going." And so I ended up finishing, and then by the time I got to the finish line, I like couldn't even stand on my leg. It was that sore. So that was hard because my physical body wasn't there. But then I've definitely had other races where my mind wasn't there, and that was like also just as hard. Like the ultra that I've spoken quite a lot about, that was like incredibly difficult because I was just like battling in the pain cave and just didn't want to be there. And also that was very hilly. So I think there's a bit of a trend here with me and hills. Not really my favorite, but maybe all this training I'm doing at the moment's going to help. But yeah, I also did a relay from LA to Vegas, the Speed Project, and that was 2018 and 2019. I did it 2 years. And that was just a different level of hard because you're so sleep deprived. So it was like a 550K relay. I ended up running like 110Ks of it, and you don't sleep the entire time. So it's like, yeah, a day and a half without sleep, and I am a horrible person when I haven't slept. So that was really hard. But yeah, probably those three races, I would say. What about you, East?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that sounds intense. 110 Ks is a long way. Oh, probably takes me back to like when I was like 14, maybe. Oh, actually I think I was 15 or 16. I went to World Juniors in Italy, for the 1500, and this is when I'd gone through like reds and lost my period for a while, and I'd had some stress fractures, and I'd like, put some weight back on, got my cycle back and stuff, and I was almost going through puberty again. But alongside that, I didn't know I had glandular fever. And so I was like training over there for like a month, and I was like, man, I feel like trash when I'm running. Like, what's going on here? And then, yeah, I was warming up for the race, and I was like, I do not feel good. Like, this doesn't feel normal. Called my dad. I was like, what should I do? Should I race? He's like, yeah, you went all the way to Italy. You've got to give it a go. And I was like, sweet. And so started the race, and I just got absolutely smoked and felt horrendous. I came last. I think I ran like 30 seconds off my PB for a 1500, which is like 30 seconds doesn't sound like that much, but for a 1500, it's a shitload of time. And then I also peed my pants. So that was the worst race of my life and the hardest.
Breaks for little Esther.
I know. I was like, I should have just listened to my gut. My gut was like, don't race. But then I don't know. It's a really hard one when you've spent so much time somewhere and so much effort to get there. You kind of want to just do it anyway, but like, I don't know. I feel like maybe my body was telling me enough signs to not do it that day. But yeah, that was real tough. And then the Tarawera 21, like 2 years ago, I did, and I had low iron and I just felt dizzy and faint. So that was really hard too. Like, Lid saw me. I was like dying so hard. So yeah, those two would be me top. Yeah, I took my shoes off because I had a big blister too. So, yeah, there's been a f that day came at
Oh my gosh, funny. Yeah, that story of you in Italy reminded me when I went to World Champs in Canada, and such a long trip, like so far away to go to do one race. And mine was a 5K race, so at least it was a little bit longer. But I passed out at like 4Ks. So I didn't even finish the race. And I just remember it was like my first, it was World Uni Cross Country Champs. And I just went so hard from the start and then just collapsed at 4K and woke up in the ambulance. So good times.
funny, but it's not, it's like, oh wow, okay.
Okay, next question is, how crucial is it in training if you miss a couple of weeks in the middle of a 16-week block due to sickness or injury?
Such a good question. Yeah, there's nothing you can do really. Like, I think if those two, like say you miss 2 weeks, week 8 and week 9 or something. Like, it depends where it is in the training block as well. I think that's really important to consider. But if you've missed the longest run of the entire block, I would suggest trying to add that in somewhere as long as you've got enough time before your race. So as long as you've still got over 2 weeks, like before your race, trying to get that sort of one peak long run in, or like a peak speed session, depending what it is. But there's nothing really you can do, and like, that really is the reality of training hard. Like, your body is pretty fatigued, and like the chance of getting sick through a big block is quite high. So yeah, the main thing you can do is actually give your body the time to rest. And what you might find is that you actually come back feeling kind of fresh, and it also did you good. Like, I've had that before where I got sick like 2 weeks before North Island Cross Country Champs, and I had to take almost a whole week off because I had a full cough and everything. And then I just jogged like half an hour a day leading into the race, and I ended up winning that race, and I felt freaking awesome. So I think it's like, I don't know, don't stress about it heaps. Give your body the time to recover. If there were some key runs missed and you've got still 2 weeks before that race, like, try to add them in, or swap them for like another long run or something. But don't try to stuff all the training that you've missed in. It's just trying to get those like key runs in. I think that would be my tip. What do you think, Lid?
No, I 100% agree. I think there's a lot of variables in this question. Like sickness and injury are quite different. If you're injured, you potentially could cross train through those few weeks, whereas if you're sick, you might be bedridden and not even be able to move. But yes, it's important to not let it get to you too much and then feel like you've missed out training and you're going to try and cram it all in. Like you said, like that can be way more detrimental to your performance than actually just like missing the training. But I've had a couple of athletes recently that I've been speaking to who are doing After Dark who have got injured with like 2 weeks to go. And I've said to them, it's just going to mean you've got a really good taper. Like sometimes having a niggle pop up a couple of weeks out from a race can be really beneficial because it actually forces you to taper properly. Whereas some people find the taper really difficult and then they end up just training too hard through their taper, getting to race day and not being recovered as well as they could have. So actually sometimes getting injured in a training block can be really good. Not injured, but a niggle. But also, if you're injured in the middle of a training block, you also need to, obviously take the time to heal. And it might take longer than a couple of weeks to heal, particularly if it's something like a stressee. So there's lots of variables. But at the end of the day, if you're just taking a couple of weeks in the middle of a 16-week block, it isn't going to impact you too hectically. Like, you will not like lose too much fitness in 2 weeks, and you'll be able to pick it back up when you are feeling better. So yes, hopefully that one answers that. The next one is, I want to enjoy running, but at the moment it feels like I'm forcing myself to do it just because everyone else is doing it. So true. What can I do to actually find it fun?
Do you want to hit that one first, Liz?
Yes, well, obviously running is trending at the moment. I want to say not trending because running's been around for so long, and in my eyes, it's always been cool and fun. But there's so many more people doing the sport now, which is incredible, and it's so amazing. I went out running this morning, and there were so many people down in Manly running, and it lights my soul up because running is just so good for you, and it's amazing to see how many people are finding, their feet in the sport. But I can definitely see how people would be getting dragged into the sport, or like finding this kind of pressure to start running because all their friends are. And if you do it for those reasons, you're already setting yourself up for failure. Like, it's really important that you start something because you want to do it, and you're doing it because you want to feel good about yourself. It's not, I want to start running because my friends are starting running, or I want to start running because I want to wear the cool clothes, or I want to start running even to lose weight. Like, those are not the right reasons to start taking up a sport, particularly running, which is hard, and it takes a lot of time and patience to actually get good at it. And then as you begin to increase your fitness, it becomes a lot more enjoyable and fun. So setting yourself up for success when you start something like running is really important, and figuring out your why. And for me and Est, and why we started Femian, to allow women to enjoy the sport of running, to build confidence in themselves and feel empowered in their bodies. And so if you can take that approach of like, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to give myself the time to build up my fitness and be patient with myself, and not just force myself to go and run 5Ks at run club because all my mates are doing that. You might want to start with doing 1K or 2K, or run walking, whatever it might be, to like build your conditioning up to be able to get to that 5K in another 8 weeks or something. So I think, yeah, figure out your why, be really smart about it, follow a plan, ideally a Femi focus that gets you there in a really sustainable way. And then I'm sure, I can almost guarantee, if you do all of those things, you will find it fun eventually.
Love that. Love that. Yeah, that's so true. That finding your why is so important. And it has to be personal, not influenced by external things or people. And then also I'll just add, like, if you're worried about like pace or comparison or competition with other people, and that's influencing the fun of it, like remove yourself from that. So like don't run with a watch, or literally put your stopwatch on your phone on if you want to run for half an hour, and then stop running when you hit the 30-minute mark. Don't know your pace, don't know your heart rate, don't know anything, and just run to feel. And then also on that note, tools, online tools that compare you to other people and make you worried about what they think of you, remove yourself from that as well if you're feeling like that's making you do stuff that you don't actually really want to do, and you're not actually that motivated. You're doing it for, external validation, or for like people to see that you're doing it. Just remove it and then get out there and just do it for you. And literally, like you said, let's do it for your why. So, yeah, I just wanted to add that because, like, at the moment, I'm not running with a watch. I run, I push play kind of thing and time it. But I'm not really like looking at my pace, and I'm not really like checking my heart rate and stuff because, yeah, I think someone who's run for a long time and, had points in my life where I was running really well, and I feel like if I compare myself to that right now, it's just not going to help. So, yeah, I'm removing all those external things, which has been good. And so, yeah, that would be my suggestion.
Love it.
Cute. I'm going to ask you this question, Liz. How did, oh, this is such a good one. I love this. How did you build the Femi community? It feels overwhelming with how many run clubs there are. That is so true. There are so many. But I want to start my own.
Yes, I love this question too. I think for us, community has been something that we've been involved in, like run communities and workout communities, for a long time. So both Est and I were in the, when we lived in Auckland together, we were part of and leading Nike Run Club. I started Nike Run Club when I was, well, it was 2011 when we first launched Nike Run Club in Auckland. And then we built Nike Training Club off the back of that as well. And it's something that we're just always being so incredibly passionate about, is like being able to build a community around movement and around sport. And for us, when we started ideating Femi and what it could be, we started as a one-to-one coaching service, but pretty quickly it evolved into a community of women runners who support each other and back each other. I think physical run communities, yes, there are so many of them right now, and they are left, right, and center. There is an abundance, but there is always space for your community. There is always space for your own personal, unique community. What you can bring to the table, I'm sure, is completely different to what exists today. And when we built Femi, we were one of the first woman-only communities. And even now, I just think there's space for everybody. Thankfully, in the Femi app, you can actually build your own community and host your own run, which is an incredible tool that we've been able to build for you all, which allows you to just plug in where you want to run, how far you want to run, and then invite other women to come and run with you. And off the back of that, I can guarantee your community will start to evolve. Like when we first start our own Femi communities in all the different locations, we might only have one or two people showing up. And then over time, it continues to grow slowly in some places, quickly in others. But it doesn't really matter to us how many. If one person shows up, we're like, cool, one person, we've changed their Friday for them, you know? So don't have any like expectation of pressure around how many people should show up to your run. Just like start, and I'm sure over time you'll be able to evolve into something pretty incredible, but there is like nothing quite like having an amazing community around you. So I have very highly urged you to get going and host it in Femi.
Yeah, love that. Love that. And I'll just echo, like, when you're talking about like your unique, what you bring to the table, I think that's like really important because, like, yeah, like, what do you want your run club to be about? Like, what's your values and like what makes you special? Like, for me, we wanted it to be like open and inclusive and not like a race or not like super competitive. So that was like different and like finding what's your kind of niche and like what are you trying to get out of that run community? I think that's important. And like, yeah, just showing up each week. Yeah, like you said, that they've grown, some of them have grown so much from something so small originally. So yeah, love that.
Okay, cool. The next one is around actually Nike, which is so cool, with Nike After Dark Tour coming up. So for those who don't know, there's a women's running series, race series, that's going on around the world. It seems like Nike are giving more and more support to women runners. How do you feel about Nike's support of women athletes? I love this question because it's just so cool to see the brand really backing women runners from like the ground up. I feel like the brand has had a massive focus on women over the last 10 years, but it's just getting stronger and stronger. And to be out there, particularly last night, we had a women's run group from the Nike store in Sydney, and so many women came together, and it was just such a beautiful energy, very much like our Femi community runs, like women coming out to support each other and achieve something they maybe didn't think was possible is just so incredible. So I'm so proud of Nike for like doing the work they're doing in the space for women runners, and I'm like very honored to be part of that movement as well. Est, I'm going to jump into the next question for you. Thoughts on the running streak trend?
Yes, that's an interesting one. Like, I think from a coach perspective, like injury risk, giant red flag. So it depends. Like, if you're running 500 meters a day, and that's what you start with. And you're doing it for a reason where you're trying to motivate yourself to get out the door every day. And so that's what you're going to start with. I'm going to run 500 meters every day. Like, I'm all for that, you know? But I think what I have seen is people just doing ridiculous amounts of Ks with minimal conditioning. And so that kind of puts me off the trend, because you see people getting injured or jumping up their mileage from nothing to, like, you know, even if you think about, like, imagine you went and ran 5K a day, you went from nothing to 35Ks a week. It's a huge jump and it's massive injury risk. So I think, like, it's cool in the right ways if it's something personal to you and you do it safely. But yeah, if you're doing it for clout and you're doing it to tell everyone that you're doing this running streak and you're running ridiculous Ks and running through injury and sickness and stuff like that, I don't know. I'm just, from a coach's perspective, I don't think it's super healthy. But yeah, that's kind of my take on it. What about you, Liz?
Yeah, I'm a big no to the running streak trend. Coming from someone who ran for 3 years without taking a day off in my early 20s, I look back on that and I'm like, where did that get me? Like, I don't think that benefited my training at all. And now, yes, I am running quite a lot at the moment, but if I needed to take a day off, I would. So I think it's just like, it goes against everything we preach about in sustainable training. So taking days and rest days is so important to help you become a better runner. I think, like, running well consistently over time is way more impressive than running every day for a short period of time and getting injured. So that's my take. Last question, Est, is what is something you hate about running for yourself, not societal things?
That's a great question. Probably, I don't know, this is like love hate, but like the potential for injury. Like, running is like I think 50%, 50% of runners per year will get an injury, you know? Like, I think that stat is somewhat correct. Don't quote me on it. But it is a crap load of people get injured, and you can do everything right. You can progressively up your training, strength train, all these things, and still get injured. So I think I find that really challenging. I think I'm quite injury prone. Maybe it's my lanky legs and my short torso or something. I'm not quite sure. but like, I think, yeah, I'm quite injury prone as an athlete, and I find that tough to deal with sometimes because I want to run and I love running. So that's probably like what I hate. But then I also, on that note, like, I wouldn't want to change running, because what makes it hard is, like, you know, the challenges you go through and the impact that goes through your body with every step, and, like, you know, it is really special. So that's probably something that I kind of hate about running. What about you?
I'm going to sound like a full-on nerd because I just love it. And it's really hard to think about anything that I hate. But one thing that I hate, I guess, that comes off the back of running, if you're driving somewhere to go for a run, I really hate that my car seats get, like, white, you know? You know, then when you, like, leave sweat on your car seat and it turns, like, that salty white, like, I really, really despise that. That and the amount of washing I have to do. But, like, if I had to choose between those two, it would be the sweat that gets on my car seat after a run. I do try to put towels down and stuff, but sometimes there's not a towel around. And anyway, I really hate that. But everything else about running I love.
That's so cute. I love that. Yeah, I definitely agree. Maybe not so much with the white car seat thing, but with the washing.
Okay, well, thank you again to everybody who sent us questions. Sorry for those that we missed, but we appreciate you all and appreciate all the questions that came into the DMs. Hopefully you enjoyed this episode. We are going to have a very special guest who is coming on next week. We're pumped for this conversation, so definitely come back for next week's ep, particularly if you are training for a race. But thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you, Est. Appreciate you. And we'll chat to you all next week.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.